One of the more interesting stories from John's Gospel, chapter 4. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water at the well. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now are with is not your husband. This you said truly." So the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." The disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into her city and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Can this be the Christ?" So one of the very first evangelists that told others that her life had changed based on an encounter with Jesus, that this might be the Christ, that he had knowledge and insight, one of the very first evangelists and missionaries in the New Testament was a woman, an outcast woman from another country, and of questionable moral character. The disciples were more than a little shocked because theirs was a kind of close-knit group, a group that were all pretty much alike, and it was in their alikeness and solidarity that they found strength. And they had to be taught. They had to be taught the value of diversity. I think all of us do as well. We have to learn to appreciate diversity. One of the more interesting moments in my life occurred on a Saturday afternoon, when as part of my job, had I not done the job I was hired to do, a small boy would not have survived. I was a lifeguard. And for the first and only time in many years of having that job, I noticed a child on the bottom of the pool and went in and did what I was trained to do. And he wasn't breathing when we got him on the pool deck, and it didn't take very long to get him breathing again. So it wasn't all that big a deal. Well, except insofar that had it gone another 2 or 3 minutes, he would not have survived. And it was really on me and my training. I sometimes wonder whatever happened to that kid. Don't know. Never heard. And, it was a fairly small town, and it made a little bit of news. It was a tiny little write-up in the paper. And one of my friend's parents sort of took me aside, and in a kidding sort of way, but I knew that there was less kidding about it than was being portrayed, said, "You know, I hope you don't expect a whole lot of credit for that. After all, it was just a little black kid." That's not the word that was used, by the way. And the implication was, you know, you did good, I guess, but there's a sense in which we all would have been a little bit better off if we had one less black kid in our town. That's not an unfamiliar lesson to those of us who grew up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even in the South, where we had laws and regulations institutionalizing segregation. Those laws were not as deeply entrenched or as obvious in the North and the Midwest, but they were there nonetheless. We all knew, you know, what restaurants were okay and what weren't. And I never had as a child, when indicating to my parents that I needed to use the restroom, there was never any concern that there might not be the right one available. So we've had to learn over time to appreciate differences rather than to entrench, even legally, ways of keeping differences divided. It takes some learning to appreciate diversity. And thank God that we've mostly taken big steps away from that. I mean, one of the ways that you can learn to appreciate diversity, I think, is to remember that the good old days were good in their own way, but boy, it's good to be away from that. And not just because we have the internet and Blackberries and all of that either, But because we have learned, maybe even by listening to our children who've made friends with people that, well, they aren't actually as different from us as we might have thought, and have brought to us a richness of cultural diversity that, well, if we hadn't had kids and if they hadn't decided that those differences were not as important to them as they were to us, we wouldn't have learned that, wouldn't have had the opportunity. More generally, I think, and I was thinking about this when Barry Bonds broke Hank Aaron's record a couple of weeks ago. In a way, every baseball record that was set prior to 1948 might ought to have an asterisk associated with it, because every professional baseball player that played in the major leagues prior to 1948 did not play against some of the very best baseball players in America. Those guys played in the Negro Leagues. And Hank Aaron was, in fact, the last player to come out of the Negro Leagues into Major League Baseball and set that record. So the competition prior to Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey changing the face of American sports was different and in some ways diluted. And now we're beyond that. And when you look at the list of players playing for the Boston Red Sox and the Cleveland Indians and the Colorado Rockies, a great number of Latin players have enriched our view of sport, and in some ways our view of sport and our view of music and art has taught us to appreciate diversity. So the good old days, well, they had their moments, but you know what? We've come a long way since then, and thank God for that. That's one way I think we can learn to appreciate diversity. Secondly, I think we can do that by, well, just in our own way, trying something new. I was really struck some years back when the father of our current president, Bush 41, we call him, celebrated his 80th birthday by jumping out of an airplane. I mean, bless his heart, what a cool idea. It wasn't the first time he'd done that, too. In his own way, he was commemorating his experience as a member of the military, serving well and nobly in World War II, and revisiting that by parachute jumping on his 80th birthday. I'm not suggesting that, you know, that particular strategy be your thing, but if it is, go for it. It can be as simple as visiting a restaurant you've never tried with food you don't typically eat, or even going to a place you've been before and ordering something you've never tried. It's little things like that, taking or putting into your next step just a little bit of a stretch that will help us, I think, learn to appreciate diversity. And the more we do of those little steps, the next time it falls to us to have to sort of relearn something that we learned as children about other people, when our children come home with someone who's different, well, maybe we'll learn to appreciate the big things a little bit more readily, a little bit more easily, and to celebrate the goodness of difference. Martin Luther King said that the most segregated hour of the week is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and he was correct in 1967, and he's certainly still, I think, correct now. As church people, we can learn to value diversity by exploring the diversity in our even Christian community. We sometimes have church youth groups that intentionally go visit churches of different faiths, of different ethnic backgrounds, and that's a wonderful idea. All of us can take a step toward learning more about things that we might not otherwise have thought to do. With, one of the things that's made the new days better than the good old days is the internet. Try Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, and look up the word Talmud. Talmud, that's the Jewish book of rabbis interpreting cultural moral code. Look up the word Haggadah, which is the instruction manual for a Seder meal at Passover. And remember that Passover and Easter are in many ways the same celebration. Christmas and Hanukkah are in many ways the same celebration. And you can read about what the Jewish faith celebrates at Hanukkah in the Apocrypha to the Old Testament, in the Book of Maccabees, which is in the Roman Catholic Bible, as it were. All of these bridges and similarities are things that we can explore and teach ourselves to value and appreciate. I grew up learning that it would be a threat to property values if our neighborhood became more diverse. I've rethought that. I've unlearned a lot of that. And I have hope for the future based on another rather personal experience that didn't involve me except as an observer, but I appreciated having this moment of insight. About 10 years ago, I very intentionally bought one ticket to go watch the Texas Rangers play the Seattle Mariners at the ballpark in Arlington. Tried to get a very good seat, and I got one seat in like the 10th row. And I went to that particular game because I wanted to see the star player of the Seattle Mariners at the time, the center fielder Ken Griffey Jr., play baseball. I hadn't seen him play, and at the time he was probably the best player in the league. And I got everything I could have asked for and more that night. He hit a home run, he made an unbelievable play in center field, threw a guy out at second base. I didn't even care, they beat the Rangers. I wanted to see Ken Griffey play ball, and by golly, I did. Got there early, watched batting practice. He launched them from home plate into the right field stands. And about halfway through the game, and again, this is 1998. This is 4 years after baseball had had a terrible strike, and the fan base was dwindling, and baseball players were being schooled to be a little more fan-friendly. And one of the ways they were to be fan-friendly was if a player on the field caught a foul ball or a ball went anywhere near them, they, instead of giving it to the ball boy, toss it into the stands, give the fans a little souvenir, because, of course, anybody that goes to a ball game hopes they catch a baseball. Well, anyway, Ken Griffey Jr. is in the on-deck circle, and the batter dribbles a foul ball over toward him, and he picks it up. And I'm about 10 rows back, so I'm going, hey, I'll take the ball if you... Well, if he'd been in some other place, he would have looked to some kids like a big, scary black guy, took the ball, and pointed to the person to whom he was going to give it. The person to whom he gave the ball was in the second row, and he was being held by his father. This was a kid of, I guess, 3 or 4, a blue-eyed blonde, and this tall, muscular African-American man took the baseball and placed it into the hand of the 3-year-old little white kid. And my fantasy is that that experience will make it less likely that when that little fella grows up, he will be as perhaps instinctively, but he will have learned something different than a lot of us learned growing up about what it means to be in close contact with people who are different from us. It's not a new idea. The first woman who told the story of what God, through Christ, came to know in her, despite her faults and flaws, as being of value, as being of use. She's a model for us. We can, day by day, moment by moment, because we are also deeply loved by a God who created us all different in our own way, we can learn to value each other and also diversity. Amen. And may God's peace that goes beyond what we can understand or experience keep us strong, keep us together, keep us celebrating the goodness of one another. Amen. Oh.